quickly. I'm so glad to always be here. Thank my pastor always for the honor that he affords and the trust that he gives just to allow us to be able to stand among the people, because you are our people. Us, we peeps, we peeps, we peeps. Okay, so hey, thank God for you all.
There's a word. Our scripture today is going to come from 2 Kings 7th chapter, the first verse in the Good News Translation. Let me just read this one verse. Just this one verse, but there's a lot in here that I want to kind of bring to your spirit. It says, Elijah answered, "Listen to what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow, you will be able to buy in Samaria 10 pounds of the best wheat and 20 pounds of barley for one piece of silver." We like to kind of drop this in your spirit and pick off of where we left off a couple of Sundays ago with the prayer and the prayer for those of you that were here. So today we want to talk about when God answers the prayer. When God answers the prayer's prayer. Pray with us if you will. God our Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Reduce us now that your spirit may be present. Let your word come forth. You have revealed to us some truth in your word, and we want to implant it into the spirit of those who have come. So hide us now behind your cross, that only your presence and you will be out front. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer.
If it had not been for the Lord.
Oh, that's what I like.
Tell me, where would I be? Lord, I want to know, where would I be?
That's what they used to sing back in it.
Not in for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Lord, I want to know, where would I be?
Listen.
Yeah.
Or somebody know it.
He let the sun shine, cloudy day.
This is what he did.
And then he rocked me in the cradle of his arms, because he knew I've been battered and scorned. So if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Lord, I want to know, where would I be?
Put your hands together. I just wanted to do just a little bit of that. Because surely if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be, but I know where I would not be. But thank God he thought enough of me to save my soul. Let us continue from the message a couple of Sundays ago, the prayer and the prayer. We spoke about the prayers of a righteous man will avail much. And we talked about a prayer who prayers will produce power. Long before the prayer bows in prayer, their prayer has the power to produce a result. This is because of the relationship that they have on whom the one in which they are praying. And it takes some time to establish that relationship, but it can be established. It's one thing to make references about one in general when you talk about this. But it's another thing to talk about one in specific. It's one thing to reference God's ability to keep his promise, but it's another thing to witness him fulfilling his promise. We suggested that one should find someone with battle scars, what we talked about, somebody who has been through something, somebody who has gone through something, somebody who prayers have managed to produce power. It's kind of what we lifted in your spirit. And I asked God, I prayed, I said, God, direct me to someone in your word, your scripture. And it's filled with many people. But I asked God in particular, point me to someone righteous in your word whose prayers produce a powerful result. And he led me to the prophet Elijah. So I want you to walk with me, if you will. And this is going to move. This is going to move quick, but this is going to move efficient. So I want you to kind of keep your ears keen. Now, somebody you find that may be not listening, I don't want to say sleep, but I don't want to leave nobody come to church and go to sleep. But I know you may be closing your eyes in prayer. Is that right about it? So just in case you find somebody, I want you to tell them, hold on, because you're going to wake up and you're going to miss something. Let me drop something right here. Aren't you glad that God is the promise keeper? Oh, come on, put your hand. Aren't you glad that he keeps his word? We're living in a time, beloved, where some people's word is filled with empty and broken promises. Their word is generally attached to a hidden agenda with contingencies for fulfillment. No sooner than they say I promise, they begin calculating how they don't have to fulfill that which they have promised. You know anybody like that that has promised you something, and no sooner than they say that you, they try to find a way to take the word back? Oh, but God. God has made us some promises on which you can rely. But the only contingency is subject to our relationship with say, build your relationships through God and through prayer. That's the way you build your relationship with God. So you can ask of him what you want, but you build it through prayer. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time and he's always in time. It has happened, but it hadn't happened yet. My breakthrough hadn't happened yet. Can we just do a yet praise right here for a minute? Can we do a yet praise that you're operating on? It hasn't happened yet. I have not got that promotion yet. I have not fulfilled the promise yet. My breakthrough, my breakout, my healing, my deliverance, my new job, my new house, my new car, my new boo. Scripture says by this time tomorrow, God is a promise keeper. The prayers of the righteous man will avail much. Elijah the prophet was known as a wonder worker, a miracle man. He sat under Elijah the prophet, who was one of God's great and respected prophets. ministry, Elijah was directed by God to find a young man by the name of Elisha to take his place. Now, all this is in the 2 Kings, so if you get on, you can read the entire chapter of books of the 2 Kings. There's a lot of stuff that happens, but Elijah worked and trained under Elijah. He became his student and personal attendant. He did small and humble things, such as pouring water, the Bible says, on the hands of Elijah. Now, just a little footnote here. God has to see how you handle some small stuff before he can give you some big stuff. But see, some of us don't want to do the small stuff, but we want the return from having done some of the big stuff. Some people don't want to seek the soul. No, they don't want to do that. They just want to come in and sit down. Some folk don't want to cook the Thanksgiving meal. They just want to come and eat. So God has to prepare you through the small things in order to get you some of the big things. Now, the end is nearing for Elijah. So he asks Elijah, what can I do for you before I'm taken away from you? This is what he asks Elisha. So Elijah responds, let a double portion of your spirit fall upon me. Elijah didn't ask for worldly honors. He didn't ask for to be high among people. He didn't ask for diamonds and furs. He simply asked the simple question is that let a double portion of your spirit fall upon me. Now, some folk, just as soon as you get a promotion, or just as soon as somebody chooses you for something, you begin looking for more power. You begin looking for things that you have not earned. You begin to look for things that God has not asked for you to be in your life. You begin to look for things that are not of God. But Elijah simply asked a question, give me double portion of your spirit. So Elijah says, you have asked a hard thing, my brother. See, Elijah knew that it was not him to give. But if you see me, he said, if you see me when I am taken from you, then your request shall be granted unto you. Then, if it not, then it will not for you. But as they will continue walking and talking, I'm painting this picture for you now so you can walk with me. A horse-driven chariot of fire appears and separates the two men. And Elijah went up in the whirlwind into the heavens. So Elijah cries, Father, Father! And just like that, Elijah was gone. His mantle fell to the ground, on which Elisha picks it up, Elijah's up, put it on, and thus assumes the position. God had granted his request. Now, God will grant you your request if he knows you have good intentions. See, God knew that Elijah's intentions were good, and he needed to be in harmony with the Spirit if he was going to assume this prophetic role. So God would honor his your request if he knows that your intentions are good. Let me say it again. If your intentions are good, you can't ask for something that you have not earned. And sometimes we ask for stuff that ain't no good for us anyway, but because it make us y'all already know what I'm trying to say. It is something that you don't have good intentions. So you wonder why God has not decided to answer. It's because you have not good intentions. Now fast forward with me if you will. Let's see how God continues to fulfill this righteous prayer. Now Elijah has a gentle spirit. He has been able to have a positive influence and impact in the lives of many people in Israel. I'm going to pronounce that. I'm going to give all the letters, all the syllables. Israel. Okay? He was a friend of Israel. He was sought after when there was a time of need. He served them well. One of his first recorded miracles was that he took a jar of salt and threw it into a toxic spring that was near the city and caused the spring to be clear because the spring was not good for drinking. It was not good for the habitations around it. So he showed his diligence through God's power by throwing salt in and paralyzed the water. But he takes no credit for that. Another miracle suggests that he instructs a young lady whose husband had died and left her in debt with two small children. The young lady petitions Elijah, "What can I do? I'm here by myself. I don't have any money. I don't have anything to provide for these kids." He says, "What can I do, Elijah? I need your help." So Elijah instructs her to go to every neighbor in the neighborhood. Now, mind you, this young lady had one thing of value in her house. And she had a jar of olive oil. So the Lord instructs her to go to every neighbor in the house, in the neighborhood, and get an empty jar. So when the lady completed this, she came back and she had all these jars laying around. So God instructs her to take the jar and begin to pour it into another jar. And as she began to pour it into one jar, then that jar, this was a stream, it kept filling. So she filled up every jar. Did you read it? Every jar was filled that she had enough to sell, pay off all of her debt, and had enough to live off with her children. I tell you, God won't do that. That's just a miracle. That's one of the miracles that was recorded that Elijah, I'm setting this up for you for Elijah. Ask God to show me somebody, this is who he showed me. One more miracle. Elijah, who often stayed at the home of a childless couple. This couple had a desire to have a child, a boy child. So one day Elijah prophesied to them. He said to them, "You will have a son." Shortly after that, a son was born to them, and glory, hallelujah, they were on cloud nine, but a short time after that, the child died. Here we are, we ask. God delivered. So the summons Elijah. So Elijah comes and he prays to God. And the child was brought back to life. So now here we are. Elijah has a direct connection to the connector. He's proven himself time and time again to be able to get a prayer through. He has proven that his prayers, and he's a righteous enough man that God will answer his prayers. And now we find ourselves at the point of the story. Walk with me, if you will. The king of Syria, I'm pronouncing it right, Syria. My wife corrects me when I say it wrong. Thank you. The king of Syria was at war with Israel. He would send his Syrian army out to set up camp in effort to try to capture and seize control of the Samaritans. But Elisha would send word to the king of Israel, warning them not to go near a certain place because the Caesarian army was waiting to ambush them. This happened many times. Many times the king would send his army out trying to capture Samaria many times, but every time they sent them, they failed. So the king of Syria came to his officers and asked them, "Which one of you are on the side of Israel?" He couldn't figure this thing out. Why in the world that every time I try to capture, every time I try to do something harm to them, that they always seem to be on guard? What somebody in the camp must be telling on And which one of y'all are on the side? One of them responded, "No one is here." And it said, "But Elisha tells the king of Israel what you say, even what you say in your private room." Now, this was a little confusing, too. I won't say confusing, but they didn't give me no picture here. But this, I wanted to know, how did Elijah know what the king was saying in his own room? I just got resolved the fact that he was already connected to the connector. So God has already revealed something in his spirit. So he was able to know what the king of Syria was thinking long before he was thinking it, so he could send the word to the Samaritan to watch out for the king of Samaria. So that's what I figured. That's how I just concluded that in my mind. Now the king of Syria said, "Find me Elijah and bring him here to me." So he sends out a large force to capture Elijah. They arrived in the town of Dothan, where Elijah was living at that time. And they came late at night, and they surrounded the camp. Let me put a footnote here. The enemy is setting traps for you at night. Do you believe what I'm saying? While you're sleeping, the enemy is on duty. He's trying to figure out how to mess up your next day, how to mess up your life. I promise you that there's some things that happen at night that you cannot believe that the enemy, oh, come on, somebody, hear what I'm saying. You've heard the thing that the freaks come out at night. Things happen at night. You wonder why you don't tell your kids, ain't nothing going on after 2 o'clock in the morning. Why in the world are you out at night this time of night? Ain't nothing good happening that late at night. Night. So be careful when you go to bed at night. Make sure that you cover yourself in prayer. You say, "Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I wake, I pray you, Lord, to keep your angels around me yet at night." So early the next morning, one of Elijah's servants gets up and goes outside and sees the Syrian army and their horses and chariot. So he runs back to Elijah and says, "We are doomed. What shall we do, Elijah? They've came to seize us. What shall we do?" But Elijah being cool, calm, and collect. What does he say? He said, "Don't be afraid. We have more on our side than they have on theirs." Walk your mind with me, if you will. My mind tells me that if I'm in the house with 3 or 4 people, and then one of my friends go outside and say, "We got a whole bunch of folk out here, man," and then I'm going to say, "Man, don't worry about that. We got more on our side than they got on their side." So I'm starting to look around. I don't see but 3 or 4 people. So how in the world? Okay, hey, come on, watch me now. So here's what happens. Elijah prays. Well, here come one of these prayers. So he asks, he said, "Lord, open his eyes so he can see what I see." So the servant opens his eyes, and he looks again on the hillside, and he sees horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elijah. God, I'm telling God, won't multiply. Can I put a footnote here? God will put a hedge of protection around you and protect you from your enemies. Don't you worry about it. The odds may look like they're against you. They may be stacked up against you. But like grandmama used to say, "Lord, please put a protection, a hedge around me and watch over my enemy. Keep me as I walk." The Lord put a hedge of protection around them. So watch what happens now. When y'all walk, you know, when they touch somebody, they move them, touch them. The Syrians attack. Then Elijah prays again. Here come another prayer. "Lord, strike this army blind." The Lord answers his prayers. A prayer that produces power. A footnote. Sometimes you got to put God on your enemy. sometimes when folk get on your nerve or they acting like they got something to do, he might have to put a guard on them. Put some guard juice on them. He said, make them blind. And what the Lord did, he made them blind. So you got folk in your life that just messing and mess all this. So look here, I'm going to put the Lord. You better watch me, man. You don't know I'm connected to the Father. You better leave me alone. I'm going to put some juice on you that you're not going to be able. You got to put God on some folks sometime. You want to get them off of you, put God on. Then Elijah tells him, why they blind now, Elijah tells him, he says to them, y'all on the wrong road. Now remember, they blind now, okay? This is not the town you're looking for. He says, follow me. Okay, Elijah. Follow me. A bunch of blind folk follow me. I know what you're saying. But look, it's in the word. I didn't make this up. How in the world can all these folk, they're blind, follow me? Well, I guess he had a bunch of seeing eye dogs or whatever. I don't know what they had, but maybe they just followed his voice. And he just said, now, I told you to close your eyes right now. And I told you just to follow me. And I keep talking. And keep talking. All you stay with my voice. You are walking in the right direction. So he tells them to follow him. Now your enemy, I'm going to tell you one thing that I know. Is that your enemy will yield to a voice of authority when the odds are stacked up against you. You hear what I'm saying? They will yield. They'll get off your track when the odds get stacked up against them. So the odds were stacked up against this Syrian army. And Elijah says this. He says this. I'll take you to the man that you're looking for. Now, I know they were looking for him. But he says, I'm going to take you to the guy that you're looking for. Now, they maybe didn't have a picture of him, or before they went blind, they didn't see him, or maybe they didn't even know his voice. But here's a man talking and said, I'm going to take you to the man of which you are looking for. I'm setting this up, Elijah. Elijah is a man who can get a prayer through. So he leads the Caesarean army into Samaria. The very city in which they have been trying to seize and capture. You remember in the beginning when I started, I told you if you might miss something. But in the beginning I said, you hear with me, that they have been trying to seize the city of Samaria. So here they are now, they're in Samaria. He leads them blindly into the city. And here again, Elijah prays again. Lord, have mercy. This is what he says. He says, Lord, restore their sight. The Lord answers his prayers again. And they see that they are smack dab in the middle of Samaria. Now, I can imagine if I was in. Can you just imagine if you were fighting against folk and you're trying to seize them, and all of a sudden you find yourself in the midst of the very place that you were trying to get into, but you couldn't get into because of the hedge of protection, but now you find yourself right in the middle. So when the king of Israel saw the Caesareans, he asked Elijah. Now that's a point. The king asked, should I kill them? And these are the folk that's been trying to kill his people now. Okay? So he asked Elijah. Elijah had great respect. Shall I kill them? No, Elijah answers. Feed them and let them return back to their king. So the king of Israel provides a big feast for the army. Feeds them, they're drinking and having a good time. They had eaten, the Bible says that they returned back to the king of Samaria. Now I can imagine in my mind that the king, when he saw them coming back without Elijah, and even to the point where when they came back, they were laughing and having said, man, we went on a trip. now, Lord, man, them folks took care of us over there, man. They fed us. And more, they gave us, man, we had a good time, King, man. You should have been with us, man. We had a good time over there in Samaria. So the Bible says that they, at that point, left them alone. So they decided to just say, those folks are all right. Let's leave them alone. But tell somebody until. Some time has passed, and now King Benadad, of Samaria led his entire army again against Israel and seized Samaria. Wow. That's what you should say right there. Footnote. You can't let your guard down on some folk, you hear me? Like Maya Angelou said, when people show you who they are, you better believe them. Ah, a leopard never changes his stripes. Ah, when you pick up a snake, he bites you. Don't get upset because you thought he was just docile. You cannot turn your back on some folk because folk will distort you. Folk will disappoint you every single time. Just when you thought the devil had left you alone, just when you thought you was on the easy street and you was walking down the path of la-di-da and holly-by, and then all of a sudden the same folk comes back in and tries to destroy, tried to seize. So as a result of the seizure, the food shortage had gotten so severe in Samaria, it escalated the cost of food some 5, some 8 times more than what the food would cost. Samaria now was under full control of the Caesarean. But one day, the king of Israel was walking along the wall, it says, and walk with me on this journey for a minute. He says, so he's walking, this is the king now, this is the king of Israel, so he's walking along the wall. And he hears a woman cries out, "Help me, your majesty." The king replied, "If the Lord won't help you, then how can I help you?" So he asked her, "What is your trouble? Tell me what's going on with you. I mean, I can't help you, but let me hear what's going on with you anyhow." Now this takes me for a loop. She said, "The other day, king, when a woman here suggested to me that I eat my child and eat her child the next day. So we cooked my son and ate him." The next day, I told her, "We have to eat your son," but she had hidden him. 2 Kings 6:28 and 29, read it if you don't have anything to do. This was a desperate time. They were being demoralized. They were desperate. They have been overtaken by the enemy, and now they find themselves in desperation. And here the king now of Israel, what he says at that point, he gets so upset that the Bible says that he tore his clothes off. And underneath his clothes, he had on sackcloth. Now, just a reference so you know, a king in sackcloth means that it was really demoralizing. Okay, just so you know. Now, so he took the stuff off and said, "They can't believe the king thinks." I'm telling you, it was in a desperate time. We're fighting some Caesareans even now. Do you believe that? There are some folk that we are fighting now that want to take everything away from you. They want to take your lands, your cars, anything that you have. They think that you shouldn't have. They want you to pay more than what you should be paying for. We are fighting against an army now that wants to take us. You better believe it. The word says that the Caesarean army came and they took everything. They took the very hope that these people had in their life. They were stealing all of their joy. But thank God, Jesus. So the king of Israel says then, "God, strike me dead. all of a sudden now, he turns his attention back to Elijah. The very one who he had so much respect for. The very one he will go to and ask his advice for. All of a sudden now, because of the desperation in the city, he wants to now blame everything on Elijah. So he cries out, if this man is not dead before the end of the day, Lord, please strike me down. I'm going to tell you, some folk that you help, folk that you try to do good for, folk that you try to honor, folk that you try to respect, the very time that you do something that they think that you shouldn't, that you should do for them, that you don't do, they'll turn their backs on you. It's some good stuff in this word. I'm telling you, you will find everyday truths in this world that folk will turn their back on you just because they think you should be doing something for them. So listen to me. So while at home, Elijah gets the word. And I'll sit down and say, I ain't got the word, but he got the word. That the king of Israel is sending someone to kill him. So he instructs the people with him, do not to let anybody in the door. The king is coming with his personal attendants to kill me. So he barely gets the word out of his mouth when a knock comes on the door. The king enters and said, it's the Lord who has brought this trouble on us. So he stormed the house, made claim to the fact that God is the one who has us in this predicament. The God who we trusted. Elijah, your God has caused us to be in this predicament. Why should we wait for him to do something else? The king turns on Elijah. Why should I wait any longer for him? But Elijah is fast on his feet. Elijah said, listen to what the Lord has to say. He said, by this time tomorrow, you will be able to, in Samaria, buy 10 pounds of the best wheat for one piece of silver, 20 pounds of barley for one piece of silver. But look at what happened. The attendant who was there with the king of Israel, he said, that can't happen, man. Do you know what kind of predicament we're in here? That would not happen, not if the Lord himself came down and gave and brought the grain himself. It is no way in the world that what you are telling us can happen. Some folk don't know when to be quiet. But oh, that's what the attendant said, speaking out of turn. But watch what happened. Elijah says, you will see it. But you won't get to eat any of the food. One thing I noticed here in this particular scripture, this particular passage, unlike the other times when Elijah was faced with a difficult situation, when the king invaded his home, the Bible does not make mention of Elijah praying. But sometimes all you got time to say is, Lord, have mercy. Sometimes you ain't got time to get on your knees, man, and get a long prayer. And sometimes when stuff really hit the road, when the rubber really meets the road and your back is up against the wall, sometimes all you can say is, Lord, have mercy. And he knew that Lord, have mercy was enough to get God's attention. He summons him just by saying, Lord, have mercy. He caught the enemy off guard, and the enemy didn't even know what hit him. Oh, but time was not on his side. He'd already promised and said, by this time tomorrow. But God, fast forward. The Lord made the Caesareans hear what sounded like an advance of a large army. So in the middle of that night, the Caesareans fled from their place, leaving and abandoning their tents, their horses, their donkeys, their clothes, their silver, and yes, their food. They left everything. Tell somebody, say, by this time tomorrow, something is going to happen. So they fled. But there were four men who was outside of the gate, the Bible said. And they saw that the Caesareans had gone and left everything. So they went back to the king of Israel. So happened the king had put that same attendant that they spoke out of turn. He put that attendant on command of the personal attendant in charge of the gate. The very one. And when the Samaritans had heard that God himself showed up in the midnight hour and ran everybody out of the city, the people shall storm the gate, trample over the beaten mouth of God, doubting attendant, thus killing him. Now, somebody say, you better watch what you say about God. Don't you doubt my God. God himself, if God came, if God himself came, and he wouldn't be able to do it, but God came, he saw that the people were being blessed, and because he was not in harmony with the Spirit, the people stumbled over him, trampled him, and killed him. And just as Elijah had said that he said the day before that the people then were able to buy 10 pounds of wheat for one piece of silver, 20 pounds of barley for one piece, won't God do it? That somebody said, won't God keep his promise? Won't God answer the prayers of the prayer? You can't beat God. I don't care what you say. You cannot beat him. When God answers the prayers of the prayer, you can believe, my beloved, that there is something good that's going to happen to you. But there are sometimes some things that you're going to have to go through to get to the prayer. Elijah went through a bunch of stuff just to get to the place where he could declare that this time tomorrow, something good was going to happen. Anybody's waiting on something good to happen in your life? Anybody's got something that you've been waiting on? The Bible says by this time tomorrow, don't you worry about what's going on right now. But if you will keep your hands in God, and there are some promises in his word that suggest that by this time tomorrow, everything that you've been hoping for, everything that you have been praying for, God is going to deliver it. Now, don't get me wrong, dear, your tomorrow might take a week. Somebody tomorrow may take 30 days. Somebody tomorrow may take 6 months. But don't you give up on God, because by this time, all the race is not given to the swift, but it's given to the one that will endure, the one that will hold on, the one that will hold out. God has some promises in his word. And I'm crazy enough to take him at his word. You can't get to the journey. You can't get to where you are unless you get some stuff behind you. By this time tomorrow, something's going to happen in your life. Just hold on. Tell somebody to hold on. Hold on. I'm trusting God. And when you need to find somebody to get a prayer through, look up the prophet Elisha. Walk through his life. There were many miracles that this brother performed, but they all were met with prayer. And God answered every prayer that he had because his intentions were good. So you have to worry sometimes. Don't worry about God. He's on his job. You just get your relationship right. That's what you do. When you come in this house, get your relationship. Ask God. Say, God, I need to get my prayers. God will reward them. Thank you.